Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Altus Group State and Local Tax and Advisory Podcast Series. Today we're speaking with Jim Nelson, who's a senior consultant in Altus Group, who also works out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and also Altus's Sparks, Maryland office. And before joining Altus, Jim was the appraisal administrator for one of the oldest property tax consulting firms in the U.S., which was also located in Pennsylvania. Jim also has 20-plus years of experience in commercial, industrial, and special properties, with particular experience, again, in Pennsylvania. And, Jim, how are you doing today?
Very well. Thanks, Matt.
Good. Well, thanks for joining us. And, you know, recently both the government of governor of Pennsylvania and the mayor of Philadelphia presented their budget proposals for the upcoming fiscal year. And naturally, we assume residents thought of the impact that this would have on their pocketbooks, namely taxes. So, you know, a major corner of those budget taxes are actually real estate property taxes. So I guess let's start at a top level here. And how do property taxes actually work in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania?
Well, property taxes in Pennsylvania have some similarities to and differences from taxation in other states. Bottom line, as in most places, an assessment value is placed upon the real estate you own, and then a tax rate percentage is billed against that assessment. There is no taxation of personal property in Pennsylvania, so no taxing of the value of equipment, fixtures, machinery that are not a part of the bricks and sticks and land of the location. All real property, meaning the land and its building and other improvements, is taxed in one single asset class. That's important. Consequently, all non-exempt property, so residential homes, offices, retail, apartments, industrial, vacant land, all are taxed by each applicable taxing jurisdiction at the same individually set local rate. If you own a parcel with your house on it, which is next door to someone else's strip mall parcel and across the street from a third person's office building parcel, and the tax rate for your area is, say, 1.75%, all three parcels will receive a tax bill which reflects the individual parcel's value assessment times that single local tax rate. Pennsylvania property taxes are paid at three levels. We pay at county, municipality, and local school district. And there are no state property taxes. Now, county and municipality officials work up their annual budgets, and then they determine, obviously, the percentage tax rates that will pay for those budgets. And with the exception of speaking up at public hearings, writing letters, whatever, citizens have little input over those budgets and rates. Their elected officials gather data, propose, modify, and they finally vote on the final tax rates, not the folks. The elected officials do. The same process is basically true for the entity that grabs the lion's share of property taxes, local school districts. From the property taxes paid by any taxpayers, school districts will generally use more than 75% of the funds billed, in some locations closer to 90%. Again, it's the elected school board members who control and eventually approve a budget, which directly affects the tax rate. So rising property taxes affect everyone, either directly through your home's real estate tax bill or higher rents in your apartment because the apartment owner needs to cover his tax expenses, or the higher amounts you pay for locally based goods and services because those folks have to find a way to pay their taxes to maintain their factories or offices. But for the most part, the folks who pay the taxes are not the ones who set the tax rates. The setting is done, for the most part, by elected officials.
Interesting. Wow, Jim, thanks for those insights there. And, you know, the elected officials are certainly in the driver's seat here when it comes to property tax rates. And so that basically leaves people trying to change their assessments on their own, right, to lower their tax rates. And let's say if I believe that my property assessment was too high, what can I actually do about it?
Well, here's where we hit somewhat of a glitch in the way that assessments are handled in Pennsylvania and how to tell whether or not they're equitable or high or low. We generally are a fair people, a civilized citizenry that believes everyone should pay his or her fair share to maintain a stable and safe and functioning society. In Pennsylvania, determining whether or not your particular property assessment is fair or not is a multi-stage and not completely transparent process. Here's how it goes. When a county executes a general reassessment, meaning they inspect every parcel within the county and using various acceptable valuation techniques to establish a new value for that location, the assessment is then set, a number that the county says is what your property is worth that day. That assessment stays exactly that same number from that day forward unless and until one of the following events intervenes. The next general countywide reassessment. These don't happen that often. They're expensive to conduct, and they can be controversial, as was the most recent one done in Philadelphia. New construction, at which point the assessor can add the value of the new construction only to the original parcel's assessment. Damage or demolition, if a substantial percentage of the property becomes unusable, or a successful appeal of your assessment. That's what we're going to talk about most. The counties have no published cycle by which dates they're required to perform these countywide assessments. Strangely, of the 67 counties in Pennsylvania, only a third have performed a reassessment in this century. 25% have not had a reassessment in more than 35 years. A half a dozen counties have not had a reassessment in 45 years or more. So obviously, over time, you can imagine the uniformity of assessments across the state would begin to deteriorate. So how does the state make an effort to keep the assessments fair across the board, across the state? Mainly through ratios from the state's Tax Equalization Division. Each year, a study is made of all the sales completed in each county, and then those values are calculated into a group of other factors, and a ratio is developed to equalize the assessments from county to county across the state. These ratios are published in June, usually every year, different rates in each ratios in each county. The indicated market value of a parcel is calculated by taking the assessment and dividing it by the published ratio. That indicated market value is the best indicator of what the county considers the value of your property, or at least how the value following an appeal would be turned back into an assessment number. If you look at your tax bill, you'll see that the assessment remains the same year after year, but the value of the property changes depending on the ratio. For example, Bucks County, outside Philadelphia, they haven't reassessed since 1972, and they have a ratio of 10.8%. Perry County, in the center of the state, reassessed in 2011, has a ratio of 97.3%. So let's say you have a property with an assessment of $1 million, and your property were in Perry County. The indicated fair market value would be $1 million divided by 97.3%, or $1,027,750. If it were in Bucks County, that same $1 million assessment would calculate with Bucks's 10.8% ratio to $9,259,259. It's a big difference if you don't know the system. If you believe that the value is too high based on your knowledge of the per square foot value of other comparable properties, or perhaps based on the declining income stream your property is able to generate if it's a business, or based on a discussion with a tax consultant who knows the market local to your property, it's worthwhile to look into the cost benefits of an assessment appeal. Within the Commonwealth, the process for appealing an assessment is similar across all counties. The owner signs and files an appeal form with the County Board of Appeals, sometimes with a filing fee. Generally, for commercial and industrial properties, the owner will need to engage an attorney who will co-sign the form. Annual filing deadlines vary for assessments affecting taxes beginning January 1st of the following year. Most deadlines in counties are August 1st or September 1st, one is August 15th, and Philadelphia is generally the first Monday in October. Any successful appeal in those counties initiated on those dates this year would affect property taxes levied beginning January 1st, 2016. Allegheny, kind of the outlier, which includes the city of Pittsburgh, They have a deadline of March 31st of the year in which the taxes are levied. So an appeal filed before this March 31st would affect taxes effective last January 1st and going forward. Usually an appraisal done by a certified general appraiser in Pennsylvania and that appraiser's testimony is required at a board hearing. And final board decisions are often published in the fall, usually before November. If the taxpayer disagrees with the board decision, his attorney can then file to the County Court of Common Pleas within 30 days of the board decision. After the court filing, the processes of inspections, discovery, further deadlines, negotiations, and a possible trial are complicated and very time sensitive and should be guided by a professional. And although the process is complicated, since assessments in Pennsylvania remain the same, usually for many years, the tax benefit of a lowered assessment can be long-term. Since changing tax rates are nearly totally outside the scope of an individual taxpayer's efforts, the most effective method to affect your property taxes is to work to have your assessment lowered to a fair and equitable point through an appeal. Consultants, tax consultants, are a great assist to any appeal effort, as they can help you determine whether an appeal is in your best financial interest before you even begin the twists and turns of the process, and then they can guide you through those twists and turns.
Interesting. Hey, Jim, those are some awesome insights there and very detailed. Thank you for that. And let's shift gears real quick here. So both the governor and the mayor mentioned taxes in their budget addresses recently. And for property taxpayers, what's new? What did they say that was new?
Well, let's take the governor first. Governor Wolf campaigned on increasing state aid to assist schools in the Commonwealth. It was one of his major points. His budget address included a plan to raise state aid from 35% to 50% of school budgets, which is, it turns out to be about $1 billion in new school spending this fiscal year. A dollar influx of that level, if the governor's numbers hold true, could lower individual homeowners' school property taxes by about $1,000. And remember, school taxes are the big share of property taxes. Remember, as we talked about a little bit earlier, Pennsylvania law requires that all asset classes be taxed at the same rate within the school district. So any benefit to homeowners, which is obviously what the governor was speaking about and to mostly in his presentations, would be a proportional benefit to all commercial and industrial owners as well. However, and it is a major however, the governor has also inherited a significant deficit that will have to be dealt with at the same time as any new spending plans. To hopefully bring the deficit into line and pay for his education and other spending plans, including more than $200 million in new funding to the Philadelphia School District alone, his budget at the moment includes shifting the taxation burden some and adding some new taxes, including a 21% uptick in the state income tax, a 50% cut in corporate income tax, incentives for manufacturers who increase payroll by a significant amount, raising the state sales tax 10%, and adding to the list of items and services which can be sales taxed, and adding a 5% severance tax on the extraction of natural gas from the famous Marcellus shale deposits. There are other pieces, but those are the headliners. Here's the other, however. Governor Wolf is a newly elected Democrat, has also inherited a legislature which is 60% Republican in the Senate and 59% Republican in the General Assembly. Predicting the outcome of the June deliberations would be a wild guessing game. New or raised taxes could easily be dead on arrival, or if packaged with other reforms or benefits, might have a negotiated chance in a revised form. Watch first, however, for more chatter about selling the state liquor store system, pension changes, changing the formula for revenues for casinos before you see any movement on taxes. Mayor Nutter in Philadelphia has proposed his final budget as mayor. He has his own deficits to handle. He has a big noisy one with a $105 million hole in the school district budget, and that $105 million is assuming that the state comes through with the hoped-for $200 million that the governor's got to work on. This is Mayor Nutter's last hurrah, his final year of 2 4-year terms, and his budget, with a 9.34% increase in property taxes, may easily be seen as a Hail Mary pass in his very final game. The schools of Philadelphia, the eighth largest in the United States, and a major driver of property taxes proposed, are in tough shape for a multitude of reasons, including poor test scores, inequitable financing across the city, growing deficits. The school board was replaced by the School Reform Commission in 2001, basically a state takeover, and that's continued to this day. There is now internal strife even within the School Reform Committee, with the governor removing the chairman last week, with the consequent threat of lawsuits. So the Hail Mary pass might not be the only prayer that will become necessary this year if Philly schools are to continue to function with any sort of non-crisis progress. Some on city council who must approve the mayor's proposal and a growing gang of loud Philadelphia taxpayers have already declared the budget DOA. This is not a new sequence of events, obviously, but there has been a tougher than usual response to the proposal. Some of the reaction is just the regular tax weariness. Some of it is a reaction to the bitterly debated recent citywide reassessment, which was a shock to many. Expect first here to hear calls to find better ways to collect the enormous amount of unpaid back taxes, a lot of school administration reform calls, revitalization of the school income tax, which is on unearned income, and some more begging from the state coffers. For both the state and for its largest city school district, the next months and years are going to be difficult rows to hoe.
Interesting. Wow, that's a lot of great insights there. So a lot going on. So I guess the big question is then, like, what lies ahead for changes or reform or pitfalls for property taxes in Pennsylvania?
You know, for more than two decades, probably more than that, that's as far back as I looked, there have been proposals to change the property tax structure in the Commonwealth. Everything from the classic targeted tax relief for the most severely impacted school district and hardest hit, mostly the poor and elderly taxpayers, to the current tax shuffling proposed by the new governor, to totally scrapping the use of property taxes to fund schools altogether. In the last legislative session, for the first time, a bill to completely eliminate and replace school district property taxes passed in the House of Representatives and made it through committee in the Senate before the session ended. Earlier proposals have been floated to require counties to have more regular general reassessments, perhaps on a 3-year cycle. There seems to be a certain desperation that might encourage lawmakers to become more creative or more amenable to change and reform. That's the good news. It sounds and feels like the movers and shakers are coming up with more ideas that might make it into law, and some might turn out to be beneficial to the property taxpayer. What could derail any good that could be a part of these efforts? The growing glut that everybody hears about of the natural gas gained from fracking could change the calculus of hoped-for revenues from that source, which would shift burdens all over the place. The competition from the increased number of casinos chewing on each other's clientele and disposable income could have a similar lost revenue effect. Additionally, the severely underfunded public employees' pension funds and the ever-expanding health care costs that we all see for that same sector could negate any benefits gained from hoped-for revenues. Newer pitfalls include a recent move afoot to find a way to reverse appeal recently sold properties, opening a legal door to raising assessments. School districts and outside companies encouraging school districts have been trolling across the counties of Pennsylvania. They search for recent larger sales that would calculate to a higher assessment than that which is on the books already. And the school district, most of whom are strapped for cash, are beginning to appeal against the taxpayer. These reverse appeals are a new phenomenon, but are spreading, especially for commercial and industrial high-value properties, and can further unbalance the fair and equitable set of assessments in a county. What can occur if these appeals are successful is that a newly sold property will have its assessment raised, while other comparable properties in the same county which are not sold will remain underassessed, and that will only exacerbate an already complicated situation. So when the General Assembly begins discussions over the budget in June, we'll have a better idea what other new ideas are out there, ideas which will help or hinder the property taxpayers of Pennsylvania.
Interesting. This has been a great interview, Jim. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we sign off here?
Just as a general recap, you know, since tax rate changes are always going to be outside the sphere of influence of most taxpayers, at least under current law, everyone should make every effort to be sure that the numbers you can change, that you can work to make equitable, meaning your assessments, are as fair as they can be. We all have to pay taxes, but we can effectively ensure that we pay no more than our fair share. And we at Altus Group, as a tax consultants, can first help you determine if an appeal filing makes sense, even before you start working out the cost of the appeal. And then we can assist you in escorting your filing through the somewhat bizarre maze of Pennsylvania's appeal process.
That's great. What a great way to end this interview. And for all of our listeners, you just heard an exclusive Altus Group State and Local Tax and Advisory podcast series with Jim Nelson, who's a senior consultant with Altus Group. And Jim, really appreciate your insights today, and thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Matt.
Take care.